15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, from verse 21, we read the following account. And then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. Verse 32, Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. In this account of Jesus coming from the Sea of Galilee up into a mountain, upon which he sits down, and great multitudes coming unto him, the sick, the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others, who are cast down at his feet, whom he heals. And then his compassion which he has on them, for they have no food. And his feeding of them with 7 loaves and a few fishes, in which the multitude of 4,000 men and women and children all eat and all are filled. In this account, we see quite a remarkable picture of the gospel. A remarkable picture. Firstly, Christ comes from the Sea of Galilee up into a mountain. And in this, we see where the people, the multitude, the sick, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the maimed, the lame are led under Christ. They come up from the seashore, from the sea, from Galilee, to Christ in the mountain. And in a figure, the sea is a picture of this world, covered by the waters, covered by the waters of sin. And the waters of judgment. In the days of Noah, the waters came down from the heavens to judge the wicked upon the earth. And the people in the waters are like those that are washed around by their sin and the judgment that sin brings upon them. But Christ comes from the Sea of Galilee. He comes from the waters and he heads up into a mountain. He heads up on high. He goes before the people up from this world to heaven's height. And the people are led up from the world beneath, up to Christ in the mountain, up to He who can save them, He who can heal them, and at the place at which He can heal them. They come up to the mountain. And the mountain is also a figure of where Christ came to save His people. Not only as a figure of the meeting place of heaven and earth, of time and eternity. Not only a figure of the great mountains of God's righteousness, where righteousness met with the sins of man, but a picture of that place, Jerusalem. Outside Jerusalem, on the mount where Christ was crucified. The mountain points us to the place of crucifixion. It points us to the cross. It points us to the death of Christ. It points us to where heaven and earth meet. To where the sins of this world, as pictured by the Sea of Galilee, and the multitudes that come up from thence, and the righteousness of God on high meet. God's righteousness came down in judgment upon the mount. God's righteousness came down in judgment upon Christ upon the mount. God's righteousness came down in judgment upon Christ on the cross, as He bore the sins of the multitude. He goes up into a high mountain. He takes the sins of the people. He bears them. He's judged. The waters of God's wrath come down upon Him. The fires of God's wrath come down upon Him. And the sins of the people are washed away in the flowing blood of Jesus Christ. Having taken the multitude's sins away, having shed His blood for the healing of the nations, He then ascends up higher, as it were, unto His throne in glory above. And having completed the work of salvation, He sits down. He sits down in the mountain. He sits down upon His throne. He sits down victorious. And great multitudes come unto Him. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him. He took their sins. He took their sins upon Him. He paid the price that their sins demanded. They should have died. They should have been slain. They should have perished because of their sins. Because of their hatred of God. Because of their rebellious hearts. Because of their unbelief. Because of their rejection of Christ and His gospel. Because of their seeking their own ends and their own ways. Because of their love of self. Because of their self-glory. Because of their despising God and His ways. They should have died, all of them. In the illnesses, in the ailments of this multitude, we see their sins. There came unto Him those that were lame. They couldn't walk. They couldn't walk because they were sinners. And they couldn't take one step in the right direction. They couldn't walk before God because every step they took was away from Him. Every step they took was a step further into sin. They couldn't walk. They came unto Him the blind. They couldn't see Him for who He was. They were blind. Man is blind to the truth. You're blind to the truth. You can read the words of the scriptures. You can read this account and you don't see what it means by nature. You don't understand. You don't see until God opens your eyes. There came unto Him the maimed. Those who are maimed by their sin. Those who are corrupt. Those who are broken. And many others. The deaf. Those who can't and won't hear. They all came, sinners. They came to where He was. And they were cast down at His feet. Sinners. But He came for them. Knowing that they were here on this earth. Knowing what they'd done. Knowing their state, knowing how wretched they were, how sinful they were, knowing the judgment that they deserved, He came for them. Such was His compassion. He came down from heaven to this world. He took upon Himself human flesh. He was a man, born a man, and yet without sin. Very God and very man, the Son of God came into this world for these people, for sinners like these. He came, He had compassion. He came and He walked upon the earth. He walked beside Galilee. He came where the waters were, the rivers were, the sea was. He came where sinners were because He loved them. And He went up into the mountain. Because they were blind. Because they were deaf. Because they were dumb. They couldn't speak. Because they were maimed. Because they were lame. Because they were wretched. Because they were sinners. He went up into the mountain ahead of them. And He took their sins. He took their blindness. He took their lameness. He took their deafness. He took their sins upon Himself. And rather than them dying the death that they deserved, He died in their place. He was judged. He was slain. He was crucified in order that they might be led unto Him, cast down at His feet, and that He might heal them. That He might heal them. And having healed them, He sat down on the mountain. Having healed His people, He sits down victorious. Having endured the judgment and the righteousness of God against their sins, He sits down. It is finished, He says. I've delivered them. I've ransomed them from the grave. I've redeemed them, I've set them free, I've paid the price to set them free. I've washed them clean in My blood, I've healed them. And He sits down, and they're gathered unto Him. The multitude for whom He suffered, the multitude whom He loves. Sinners that He loves, sinners like you and I. Blind, dumb, lame sinners. Rebellious sinners like you and I, but sinners that He loves. He sits down and they're laid at His feet. They're cast down at His feet and He healed them. He took of His blood and He sprinkled it upon them. He healed them. He washed them clean. He washed them clean. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. He healed them. He took his blood and washed them clean. He made them righteous. He made them to be the righteousness of God in him. In a figure here, he heals their physical ailments, but in the picture it points to what he did for sinners. He healed them of their sin. He made them righteous because he had compassion on the multitude. Did he go there for you? Did he leave Galilee shores for you? Did he go up by the way of the cross into the mountain for you? Did he suffer God's wrath against your sins? Did he pay the price for your sin, for your hatred, for your unbelief of the gospel? Did he suffer for you? Did he sit down on the mountain for you? Were you led up and cast down at his feet? Have you been cast at his feet? As one who's blind, as one who's deaf, as one who's lame, as one who is dumb. Have you been thrown down at his feet? Has he taken his blood and healed you? Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Did he do all of this for you? Did he suffer for you? Did he die for you? If he did, it's because he loved you. Has he got compassion on you? Are you one of this multitude whom he came to save, whom he came to heal? Well, they've been with him for 3 days. For 3 days, and he has compassion upon them. Now, what do we see in this 3 days in which they are with him? We see their unity with him as he suffered, as he died, as he was laid in the grave, and as he rose again. The people are seen to be with Christ through all his sufferings. He takes them to the cross with him. They're united with him at the cross. He bears their sins. He had no sin himself. Then if he was slain and judged at the cross for the sins of others, they had to be one with him. They had to be united with him. It's as if they were there at the cross with him. It's as if they hung on the cross themselves. It's as if they were crucified spiritually with him. They hung there with him. As Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified. He sees himself hanging with Christ upon the cross. He sees God judging him in Christ. He sees himself dying with Christ. He's there with him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He had compassion upon me, Paul says. When he died, I was there with him. When he was crucified, I was crucified with him. When he was laid in the grave, I was laid in the grave with him. The old Saul was done away with. My sins were laid in the grave, never to be seen again. And when he rose on the third day, I rose with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I was with him there. I died with him. I was buried with him. And then I rose with him 3 days. I died the first day. I was buried the second day. I rose again the third day. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me? He had compassion upon me. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. They've been with me. They've come to the mount with me. They've been crucified with me. They've been buried with me. And they've now risen with me. And here we are together upon the mount. They've been saved. I've healed them. But they've nothing to eat. Been with Christ 3 days. From the cross, through the grave to the resurrection, delivered because of his compassion. 3 days. 3 days. They came from Galilee. They came to the mount. And here they are delivered. A little while later in chapter 17 in Matthew, Christ speaks of his impending death. And he says to the people, he explains what's going to happen. Here's the picture of it in the mount in this chapter 15. But then he goes on to speak of it in chapter 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Whilst he's with the disciples here in Galilee, he tells them that he's going to die. And on the third day he's going to be raised again. And again they see the picture. Here in chapter 15, they come from Galilee. They come from the world. They come from sin. They come from the place of judgment. And they come to the mount. They go on a journey with him. A journey that lasts 3 days. A journey that takes them to the cross, where he is slain for them and they are slain in him. A journey that takes them through the grave, where their sins are buried, never to be seen again. Where the old man Adam is buried, never to be seen again. And a journey that brings them up from the grave on the resurrection day and up into the mount above, where they rise with the life of Jesus Christ. A new man. The second man. The last Adam. They live, but not they. He lives in them. They're with him for 3 days. But he has compassion upon them. Because having saved them, having delivered them, having healed them, having taken away their sin, having brought them to this place, they've nothing to eat. Here they are in the figure on the mountain and they've nothing to eat. They've been saved through Christ's blood. But now in the figure, the multitude must continue their journey through this world, through the wilderness below, before that day in reality when they will pass from this world, from time into eternity, and go to be with Christ forevermore. Believers are brought to the cross. They're brought to the gospel. They're brought to hear this message. You may be brought to hear of the death and the resurrection of Christ. You may be brought to see what he did for sinners. You may come to know that he did it for you. You may come to discover that you're one for whom he died, that he bore your sins when he suffered, and he shed his blood for you, and he washed you clean. And you may come and believe and be brought to life by the Spirit of God, and to see and believe and be healed of all your iniquity, healed of your transgressions, healed of your lameness, your blindness, your deafness. You may come to see all of this, but then you have a journey. Then you have a pilgrimage through this world. Then you have the rest of your life here below to walk before God, to walk before Christ, through this wilderness below, through this world that rejected him, through this wicked, sinful veil beneath, and you've nothing to eat. How are you going to live? How are you going to survive? On your journey through the wilderness of this world, the people here had nothing to eat. They had nothing to eat because there's no food here below which can sustain them. Their old man, Adam, was crucified with Christ. What fed him in the world below would not feed them now. Once upon a time, we may be satisfied with what this world gives us. We may be satisfied with the food here below. We may be satisfied with the food of ambition and the food of pleasure and the food of riches and the food of the wisdom of men. We may be satisfied with the food of this world's religion. We may travel through this world and be fed and satisfied by this world's religion. But when you come unto Christ as those who are weak as a consequence of this world's religion and this world's ways and this world's sin, when you have come to see that you are actually blind and deaf and dumb and lame and maimed by all that is here below, when you come to see that you're a sinner and you're dying and you're dead in trespasses and sins, and that all that this world promises is vain, and all that pass through this world perish in the end, when you come to see that the food of this world does you no good whatsoever, you're dying and it can't give you everlasting life, and the religion of this world does you no good whatsoever, it promises life but never gives it, it tells you how to live but never gives you any strength or ability, it tells you where to go but never takes you there, when you find that the religion of this world leads you to perish also and leaves you blind, then you are brought by the Spirit to Christ's feet, you're laid down there, and you die with Christ. And you're buried with Christ. For the food of the world could not sustain you. It brought death. Your sin brought death. The food of the world brought death. The food of this world's religion brought death. It left you dead. And you're crucified. And you're buried. But here on the third day, you rise again. And Christ looks upon his people having risen with him and says of them, in this vale be here below, in this valley here below, in this world below, in the darkness below, he looks upon them and says they've nothing to eat. There's no food for them from this world. There's nothing in the world that they can feed on. There's no food here below. There's no food in the world. There's no food in its religion. How are they going to live? How are they going to walk as my children in such a place when there's no food to be found there? It's a wilderness. It's a desert. There's no food in it. Well, he looks upon them in compassion and he says, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I'm not going to leave them like that. I'm not going to leave them to fend for themselves. I'm not going to leave them to go off to the world's religions and try to feed upon that. There's nothing there. There's no food there. They can't survive. So he feeds them. Here in the miracle, in Matthew, we see the people fed. And it's not a miracle written and recorded and performed that we might simply wonder at the great power of Christ. It's there to show what he does for his people. It's there to show a greater miracle, how he feeds the multitude of his people, his children, God's people, in the wilderness. They continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? They couldn't feed them. They're in the wilderness. How are they going to feed them, they say. How can we feed them? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Yes, this world is a wilderness. Especially the religion of this world. But Christ feeds his people in the wilderness. He asked his disciples, he asked his preachers, what have you got? And they said, we've not got much. We've got 7 loaves and a few small fishes, and we have a multitude to feed. And Christ says, give it to them. He takes it, he breaks it, he gives it to them, and they give to the people, and they eat, and they're fed. The disciples, the preachers as it were, complain that they have so little food to give. So little for so many. We've only got 7 loaves. And there's thousands of people here. And they're starving. How can we feed them in a wilderness? So little for so many. Yet Christ instructs them to give what they have. To preach what they know. Preach what you know. I've shown you the gospel. I've shown you the truth. I've shown you my salvation. You've been delivered yourself. You've come up into the mount. You've come from Galilee. You know that you were once blind and now you see. Tell the people. Tell them that you were blind. Tell them that you see. Tell them who made you to see. Point them to Christ. Tell them what you know. Don't give them what you've not got. You can't. Don't invent things. They can't live on invented things. Don't try to feed them with the wisdom of this world. They'll starve. But tell them what you know. Give them the bread you've got. You've got 7 loaves. Perfect loaves. Perfect bread. Preach what you know. However little it seems. However despised it might be in men's eyes. How could that possibly feed or save a multitude? How could 7 small loaves and a few little fishes feed a multitude? You see, the gospel, the 7 loaves in the hands of Christ's disciples, his preachers, is to those who perish foolishness. It's despised. It's rejected. It's laughed at. It's mocked at. It's trampled underfoot. The gospel, the bread they have, the bread they can give, is despised. Everyone laughs at it. They say, why do you preach? This is the 21st century. Nobody goes to church. Nobody cares about religion. Nobody cares about Christianity. Nobody cares about Jesus Christ. Nobody cares about the gospel. Why do you preach it? Why do you go off in your few little numbers here and there? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you trust in a Saviour that you cannot see? Why do you believe in a God you cannot see? They laugh at it. They mock at it. They despise it. It's foolishness. You come preaching a message of salvation and your message is that the leader of your religion was slain. You preach a gospel about a man who died. And they laugh at it. In the eyes of men, that's foolishness. How can a dead man save? Christ died. He was put to death and you come preaching him. They laugh at it. And if they accept that, they then laugh at the truth that it proclaims. They mock and they despise as foolishness the truth of the cross. That Christ died for his people. That he died for a chosen people. a particular people, a number of people that his Father chose and gave unto him. He died for them particularly. He took their sins. He bore their sins. He suffered for their sins in particular that he might deliver them. He took the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and he suffered in their place that he might set them free. Oh, that foolishness, says the religious. They want a religion for everyone. They want a religion where anyone can be saved if they but will. Anyone that lives like this will be saved. Anyone that strives like this will be saved. Anyone that makes this decision will be saved. Anyone that comes into our meeting, we will save them. And they reject the truth. They reject the gospel as foolishness. They laugh at the seven loaves in the hands of the disciples. They say, how can you possibly feed people with that? How can that save? Yet Christ said to the disciples, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. He took the gospel. He gave thanks for the gospel. He broke the bread. He gave it to his preachers. He made them to know and to see and to recognize its power. And he gave them boldness to preach. And they preached and the people were fed. They gave what he gave to them, to the multitude. And the multitude were fed. They did all eat. Seven loaves. Seven loaves. He did it. Christ did it. The disciples, faced with this dilemma, said, how can we do anything? We've not got enough food. They were powerless. The strength wasn't in them. There's no strength in man. There's no strength in preachers. They had no ability. So Christ said, give me the bread. And he took it. And he broke it. He gave thanks. And he gave it to them to give out. All the work was Christ's. He'd gone from Galilee to the cross, to the grave. He rose again. He went into a mount. He sat down. The people come to him. He heals them. And he takes the bread of the gospel. He gives thanks for it. He breaks it. And he gives it to his disciples to deliver to the people. All comes from Christ. He wrought salvation. He wrought the gospel. And now he takes the gospel from on high, breaks it, and delivers it. He preaches it. He preaches it. He gives this to his disciples to deliver to the people. The gospel. Seven loaves. Seven loaves. Perfection, the number of perfection, seven. There are seven loaves. The bread of the gospel is perfect. It's perfect. It might be despised of man. You might despise it. You might turn your back upon it. You might be apathetic towards it. You might be overly familiar with it. You might shut your ears to it, but it's perfect. And when God in Christ takes it and gives it to his disciples to preach it, it comes as the power of God under salvation. Man cannot stand in its wake. You cannot resist it. If God purposes to bring it to you and to feed you by it, you cannot resist. Here the people sit down. He commands them, sit down, and they sit down. He commands the disciples, deliver this message. And they deliver it. They give the people the food. The people eat and are filled. You cannot resist when he comes with the power of his gospel. It's perfect. There are seven loaves and a few fish. Fish from the sea. From the Sea of Galilee, which the fishermen had caught. The disciples had caught these fish from the sea. You see, this is Matthew's gospel. Fish and fishermen are scattered throughout this gospel. It's a recurring theme. Because in it we see the sea of this world. And we see how the disciples that Christ called are sent as fishers of men, to deliver men from sinking and drowning in the sea, and to bring them out of the sea up into the heights. They have the bread of the gospel and they have a few fish, just a few, that they've caught by the gospel, who they deliver, who witness for them, who continue to proclaim of what God has done for them. The disciples were fishermen. Andrew and Peter were. Here is Christ leaving the shores of Galilee where once they fished, heading up into a mountain and having the multitude gather with him. Then the disciples, the preachers, the fishermen, brought the food that they had, bread and fish. They were fishers. They led their lives by fishing. And now Christ has made them, with his gospel, fishers of men. Give the people the bread and the fish and feed them. And Christ commanded the people to sit down on the ground. O sinner, O multitudes, if you're ever to be fed, if you're ever to live, if you're ever to be healed, if you're ever to know Christ and his power, if you're ever to be spared death and the judgment and the wrath of God against your sins, then you will be brought to sit down beside Christ. To cease from walking, to cease from working, to cease from doing anything to save yourself. The people, the maimed, the sick, the blind, were cast down at Jesus' feet. People took them and put them there. The gospel, as it were, came unto them. And the preachers of the gospel came unto them and picked them up and placed them before Christ. They couldn't come. They wouldn't come. They didn't come. They were brought. The gospel brought them. And when Christ began to feed, they were caused to sit down. They sat down. There's no activity on the part of the people. Everything here is what Christ does. He uses his disciples to deliver his gospel unto the people, but it's all from him. They just sit down and he gives them to eat. That's the gospel. It's all what God does. There's nothing for you to do. Nothing. There's nothing for you to do. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to read this or do that or make this confession or do anything. There's nothing for you to do. It all comes from him. And he gives you to feed. He gives you to eat. And you eat and you live and you're healed. It's all of God. Anything that you do from thenceforth is a consequence of everything that he does. You do nothing of yourself. He causes you to feed. They did nothing. They were sat down. Christ fed them. He gave the disciples the bread and they delivered it. It all came from Christ. The people didn't go and get it. They weren't instructed where they might find it. They weren't told how to prepare it. They didn't grow it. They didn't farm it. They didn't make this food. They didn't prepare this food. They were given it. There's nothing of the works or the will of man in the gospel. They did nothing. They were sat down at rest. Christ prepared the food. He took it, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it. And by his preachers he delivered it unto them. And when he delivered it, when he delivers his gospel, people feed and are filled. They did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. They did all eat. They all ate. All 4,000 men and all the women and children with them. Thousands upon thousands. They were all filled. All filled by the gospel. What bread is this? What gospel is this? Well, we see it in the first few verses of the chapter we've read. Prior to this account of the feeding of the 4,000 in the mount, the chapter opens with the scribes and the Pharisees of Jerusalem coming unto Christ and complaining. They say, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" They were offended at Christ because his disciples didn't wash their hands before eating bread. They didn't do the things that the disciples, that the Pharisees and scribes demanded the people do. They said, "If you want to eat, you must do this and do that. If you want to be saved, you must do this and do that before you can eat. First you must wash. First you must make yourself righteous. You will never be blessed of God until you make yourself righteous before Him. First you must wash. You must wash yourself. You must cleanse yourself. You must do these good deeds. You must walk in the right way. Then God will see you. Then He will bless you. Then you will eat." That's their religion. And that's the religion of this world. If you're going to be saved, you have to come to this meeting and that meeting. You have to read this and read that. You have to perform this ritual and that ritual. You have to live like this. And if you do that and do that continuously, then God will see you and God will bless you. But if you don't, you'll die. You must work in order to be blessed. God rewards those that work. It's the message of works. That's where the chapter opens, and this is what this account is contrasting with. It's showing that the people who were fed and who were saved did nothing. They sat down. They were blind, they were dumb, they were deaf, they were lame. They needed to be cast at Jesus' feet. They weren't washed, they couldn't do anything. And the religion of the day hated it and despised it and rejected it. It rejected Christ. It slew Christ. It rejected His disciples. And it rejected all that followed Him. Why don't you wash your hands before you eat? Well, the gospel of the disciples fed the people with, that Christ gave them from the 7 loaves of bread and the few fishes, was a different gospel. The Pharisees were offended that Christ didn't demand that the people washed when they ate bread. They demanded works. But the gospel is for those who cease to work. The sick, the dumb, the deaf, the lame, the blind, the dead. Those who are starving in the wilderness. Those who are sat down. And these are those whom Christ looks upon in compassion, whom He will not send away hungry, but that people whom He looks upon in grace and whom He feeds in the wilderness with bread which fills them, with fish which they eat, by which they're caught by the gospel. He feeds them in the wilderness. You may say, believer, that you're in the wilderness. That you come to hear of Christ. You come to hear of the gospel. You believe on Him. You love the gospel. But here you are and the journey's so hard. It's such a barren wilderness in which you're living. Britain today is such a barren wilderness as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as truth is concerned. America's a barren wilderness. The world's a barren wilderness. You say, "It's so hard. How am I going to live? How am I going to journey on to the end? How am I going to endure to the end? I'm here in this wilderness and I'm starving. Where's the gospel?" You say, "I need some food. I need some bread. I need to live. I'm starving." But are you? Are you? Are you with Christ? Are you where his disciples are? Are you in the mount with his disciples and the multitude? Are you where the preachers of his gospel are? If you're where they are, if you're listening to them and not to the scribes and the Pharisees in this world and its religion, if you go to the temple, if you go to the tabernacles of this world, then you will starve. You won't be fed by those that demand that you wash first. You won't get any food in their meeting halls. You won't get any food in their churches. And if you complain that you're starving whilst you walk in their ways, you will starve. But Christ has come with his gospel and said, come away. Come out from among them. Come up hither. Come to the mount. Come up here. And the disciples come, the preachers come with the gospel, and they find sinners like you and I where we are. And they pick them up by the gospel, and they bring the blind sinners like you and I, and they lay them down at Jesus' feet, and he heals them. And he feeds them. And if you find yourself at Jesus' feet, where his preachers are, where they take the bread of his gospel and deliver it, where they have 7 loaves and a few small fishes, you won't starve. You will eat and you will be filled. You will be filled with his gospel. You will be filled with life. You will be filled with the truth. They may only be a few. They may only have 7 small loaves and a few small fishes. It may be despised by everybody else and rejected as foolishness. But it's rejected as foolishness by those that perish. And you who eat are saved forevermore. And for you, the 7 loaves and a few small fishes prove to be in the gospel the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. If you eat of this bread and drink of this wine, you will live and reign forever with Christ in the mount from whence healing pours forth through the blood of his covenant. Have you come? Have you been laid down at his feet? Have you heard? Have you seen? Have you eaten? Are you filled? Do you live? Do you live?